Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 47 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worship service begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In the month of August, we get to hear God's spoken word from our superlative associate ministers. And up first is the sensational Reverend Jerry Springer. And he titles his message, Staying Ahead of the Storm. And he shares that when the storms of life hit, and they will, we are to hold God's hand and stay on the path.
Along the path of life, you got to hold on to God. He's going to show up, and you got to hold on to his unchanging hand. And he will carry you through that illness. Stay on the path. He'll bring you through that divorce. Stay on the path. He'll bring you through that bankruptcy, that heartache, that disappointment, that despair, if you just hold his hand and stay on the path.
If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 down through 27. And keep it handy, because Reverend Springer is going to hit some other powerful scriptures. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Someone may not have told you this week that they care for you, but I'm going to tell you right now, God cares for you. So, with that being said, make the decision to turn whatever it is, the rocky relationship, the rocky week that has passed, or the rock-bottom circumstance, turn it over to God. Amen? Now, I want you to understand this so much. I want you to repeat after me. We're going to do it two times. First time, Lord,
separate me
from my circumstances,
and speak into my spirit.
One more time. Lord,
separate me
from my circumstances,
and speak into my spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. Let's move into this sermon. By way of introduction, I'm going to tell you a story. It says, recently Kelly and I went on a vacation. We went to Zion and Bryce National Parks in Utah. Now, in order for us to get there, we had to fly from Sacramento to Las Vegas and then rent a car to get us to our destination. Now, after boarding the plane, we fastened our seatbelts, listen to the stewardess present the information on the safety information card. Soon after that, the pilot made his announcements. The plane pushed back from the gate. We taxied to our assigned runway and took off towards Las Vegas. Now, as we descended from our cruising altitude, we hit some turbulence. And as the plane began to shake, there was a slight drop. The pilot then reactivated the seatbelt sign, and we eventually landed safely. Now, I share this story with you because this morning we're going on a trip. We're not actually going to fly on a plane. You're not seated in seat B27, but you are seating in one of these sections in this sanctuary. A stewardess isn't going to read the information card, but this preacher is going to preach from the Bible. And let me tell you something, it's full of safety information. Amen. A pilot's not going to make any announcements, but this preacher is going to proclaim the word of God. Now, there may be some turbulence in the pulpit and in the pew, but let me tell you something. Just like that plane, we're going to press through, all right? Now, our trip does not require you to stay in your seat or hold your peace. Now, if you feel the need to get up, get up! And if you want to shout hallelujah or say amen, then go ahead and do it. And in fact, doing so is encouraged. Amen. Now, during our journey, we're going to dive deep into several passages that will reveal three powerful but yet practical points, all right? Now, towards the end of our excursion, we're going to reach a point where some of you have never been, but some of you have already been there. And when it's all said and done, we're going to give God the praise. So with all that being said, the title of this sermon is Staying Ahead of the Storm. I say again, staying ahead of the storm. And for those of you who are taking notes, get your pens out, because I'm going to give you those three powerful and practical points right now. The first point is build your house on the rock. The second one is stay on the path. And the final point is going to be to tell somebody. Amen? One more time. Build your house on the rock. And that's from Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Stay on the path, which is taken from Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15. And then finally, tell somebody, which is from John 4, 29. We got that? All right. So, let's begin our journey by turning to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 24. Amen. Now, within the book of Matthew, there are five discourses given by Christ. The five discourses are the Sermon on the Mount, the commissioning of the 12, the kingdom parables, the childlikeness of the believer, and the Olivet Discourse. Each discourse presents a separate theme. Now, since our text is taken from the concluding verses of the Sermon on the Mount, I will mention that the Sermon on the Mount presents central tenets of Christian discipleship. In our scripture text, Jesus provides a practical illustration and application of the teaching presented in the Sermon on the Mount, which begins in chapter 5 and concludes in chapter 7, verse 27. So as you read verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine," stop right there. The astute Bible reader will ask, what saying is he speaking about? Well, he's speaking about, in context, those things that were presented in the Sermon on the Mount, which, as I said, begin in chapter 5 and conclude in chapter 7. If you get a time to read those, you know, it starts off, and this is a familiar passage to many, it starts off with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, etc., etc. And so again, what he's saying is I'm referring back to things that I have already said, okay? And so verse 24 reminds us, if you just stop what I try right there, it says to listen to the word of God, okay? Because you have to ask yourself two questions. One, who am I listening to and who's got my ear? You know, we make a choice of what we listen to, who we listen to, and how long we listen to someone or something. When we turn on the car, pick up the TV remote and select our chosen program, press the button on the iTouch, iPod, iPad, or activate the PlayStation, Game Boy, Xbox, or call someone, Skype someone, or FaceTime someone, we give our attention to that someone or something. Here, Christ is saying, those who hear these sayings of mine. Why is it that we go to Sunday school, Wednesday night Bible study, come to church on Sunday, may even go to an afternoon program, and we're not listening to what the Word of God says? We tend to fill our lives with other things of less importance rather than understanding that these are the words of eternal life. Amen? And so ask yourself the question on a weekly basis. If you were to time it out, okay, how much time I watch television, how much time I listen to something else, versus how much time I devote to hearing what saith the Lord. It will surprise and shock you. So again, what am I listening to and who's got my ear? You know, when we were young, we had a real quick filter. When you heard your mother's voice, you knew it beyond any other voice. You could be walking down the street, around the corner, in the store, and when she called your name, maybe the way she called it, You know what I mean? If she put your middle name in there, you knew she was talking to you. But over time, all of a sudden we grow up, we think we're mature, and some of those influential voices in our life begin to fade away. But you know, folks, regardless of how old we are, we still need to hear the voice of God. None of us are grown till we don't need to hear the voice of God. Amen. All right. And so the verse goes on to state in the B portion of the verse, he adds these words, saying, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, here's the crutch, and does them. You know, you can hear something, but the application point is, are you going to do it? Okay? And so that is critical. Now, if you break down the words hear, saying, and does in the Greek, the sentence would read like this. Whoever is able to hear or receive these sayings, statements, or gospel, and does, performs, or causes them to be. That's what he's saying right there. And he's going to liken you to a wise builder, okay? Because it is important not just to hear, but to do. Now, the portion of this verse also sets forth a spiritual principle that is found in other parts of the Bible. Now you're saying, I don't see that. Well, let me explain it to you, all right? This verse also affirms the principle of obedience. Now, if you were to look at James 1:2, which states, be ye hearers of the word, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. In addition, John 14:5 states, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so what you see in the hearing and the doing is obedience. And one step deeper is you see love, okay? Let me tell you something. Our obedience can't be separated from our love for Christ. I'm going to say that again. Our obedience cannot be separated from our love for Christ. What did I just say? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will be obedient to what I've asked you to do, okay? And so again, those things go together. If you're a Christian, obedience and love go together, all right? Now, we know there's some things that go together, right? Come on now, peanut butter and jelly, they go together, all right? Biscuits and gravy, what else? They go together, right? Tall, dark, and handsome, they go together, amen. There's some things here that just go together, amen. And so again, obedience and love go together. Christ is saying, build your house on my teachings. Christ is the foundation, the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone and the stone which the builders rejected, Matthew 21:42. Christ is our rock, our source, our security, the unshakable foundation of our lives. Christ said, the person who builds his house on me, or the rock, is likened to a wise man. Now, why do you think Christ called this guy a wise man? Okay? Let me tell you why. It's because the man was wise because he obediently listened and applied God's principles before the storm. He applied the principles before the storm. And understand this. He wasn't building a three-bedroom condominium, okay? He wasn't building a split level or a tri-level. The house represents his spiritual life. That's what the house represents, the person's religious life. He was building principles into his life, not just any principles, but godly principles. Not just the sayings from the Sermon on the Mount, folks, the entire scripture. That's what we need to build into our lives, okay? But understand this, when you read it, it says, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The house was built before the storm. Build your house, your spiritual house, before the storm comes. Now, if you look at what happened next, it says, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, when you look at the rain, the flood, and the wind, some commentaries suggest that this is a form of judgment. And they go back to looking at the rain that descended on Sodom and Gomorrah, okay, because they were under God's judgment. You look at during the plagues how God rained down hail on Egypt, okay, and then you look at the flood, the great flood that wiped everything out, because that was a form of God's judgment, okay, and then you look at the wind. If you turn back and read the book of Jonah, okay, it says, and God calls a mighty wind, all right, to come upon the sea. And so again, before the judgment of God comes, make sure you build your house on the rock, all right? These verses let us know also, if you read further, that all foundations are not the same. Because it goes on in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. The same thing happened to both houses. One stood and one did not. The same thing's going to happen to the believer and the unbeliever. You've got to make a choice of how you're building your foundation, all right? The person who has a strong foundation is wise. The person who built their house on the sand without a good foundation, the Bible calls them foolish. You know something? There is no neutral zone. Ask yourself, am I wise or am I foolish? Now I want to try to really help you understand the difference between a person who's built their life on a solid foundation as opposed to one who had a shaky foundation. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Psalm 18, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now this song is written by David. And when you read the first three verses, you'll get the understanding that he has built his foundation on Christ, okay? For it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from all my enemies. Amen. The reason David could write this is because he had a personal relationship with Christ. He understood the source of his power. He understood his strength. He understood who was his deliverer because he had a personal relationship with God. He knew that when the storm came or his enemies attacked, who he was going to call on. It says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Who do you call on? David had a relationship with Christ. Now, that's one foundation. Turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And we're going to see someone whose life supported the fact that he did not have a strong foundation. Amen. I told you we're going to go deep into these passages, okay? So we're going to turn some scripture this morning, but it's all in order to bring us to a point of decision. And here we have the discussion about the rich young ruler. We know about the rich young ruler, right? He had a question he went to Jesus with. You know, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? All right? And so he asked him a question. So Jesus said, you know, why do you call me good? And then he went on and said, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And so he come back and said, well, teacher, all these things, I've done these things. I've kept them since my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. Okay? But verse 22 says, but he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. The reason he couldn't commit to Christ or have a personal relationship because he was too caught up in the things that he had. He didn't have that relationship. Therefore, he didn't have that foundation. Okay? So you've seen David. You've seen the rich young ruler. There is no neutral zone, folks. Where are you? All right. All right. And so again, David had such a firm foundation. And I pray that you have a firm foundation because life, we are living in turbulent times. You know, who do you turn to when there's no one else you can turn to? Who are you going to talk to when no one wants to listen? Who are you going to lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know that's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Build your foundation on the rock. Now, our first stop has established this, that we must build our foundation on a rock. But it's now it's time to visit another passage to present a second powerful point, which is to stay on the path. Turn to Proverbs 4. We're moving. Turn to Proverbs 4. And we're going to camp in verse number 14 through 17. Now, the Bible presents two paths of life, the narrow gate and the wide gate, Matthew 7, 1 through 14. The narrow gate is achieved by faith in God, but the wide gate leads to destruction. In Proverbs, King Solomon is the author of the book, and in this book, he is presenting principles of wisdom to his son. In these passages, verses 14 and 15 of chapter 4, Solomon says this, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away. Now, if I had to summarize these verses in four words, they basically would be, don't go and get out, all right? Now, this point really is directed, I know to the two groups, but I really want to speak to you young people today, okay? Because I believe that you are at a critical point in your lives. You got to stay on the path, okay? Because you need to avoid it, you need to get away from evil or sinful situations. You know, young people make the decision to avoid sinful situations now. John MacArthur said, sin is best dealt with at its beginning by the application of necessary wisdom to suit the initial temptation. He goes on to say, and he pulls this from these verses, you have to avoid the situation, okay? You've got to travel as far as possible from it, and you have to turn away from the sin, pass beyond it, or escape it. You basically got to get out because you don't want to find yourself in a sunken, sinful situation. Now, how many people saw the movie Get Out? Come on now. It's okay. You all saw the movie Get Out. In the movie Get Out, the character Chris was hypnotized and found himself in a sunken place. He was paralyzed. He couldn't get out. It was like he was in suspended animation, all right? He was hypnotized. And sometimes circumstances will hypnotize you into thinking that you're doing right, all right? You've been deceived, and you find yourself looking up in this sunken place trying to get out, but you just can't. But let me tell you something. Chris got out, but you can get out too. Amen? It's because we have to take whatever that situation we got ourselves into to God. Amen? Now, if you have tried your best to avoid sinful situations, young folks, but find yourself in a sinful situation, it happened to somebody in the Bible. We all know about Joseph, right? Joseph was doing all that he could to stay out of a situation, but got caught up in it, okay? Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Joseph, the Bible says that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was a good-looking guy, all right? Joseph was the overseer in Pharaoh's house, all right? His brothers had did some stuff to him. He found himself in jail. Potiphar came and purchased him, brought him into his house, okay? Gave him a real job, nice job. Potiphar saw that, you know, God was blessing him and his house was being blessed, all right? But what happened was Potiphar's wife saw Joseph and thought Joseph looked good, okay? And basically she made a pass at her brother, okay? Now, Joseph was wise because he refused her advances. He said to her, "How can I do this great sin against God?" And the reason he could say that, let me back up, is because he had a relationship with God. He had a foundation, said, "I'm not going to do this because it's going to bring dishonor to the God that I serve." Now, if he hadn't had a foundation, you know what would have happened. Well, Potiphar ain't going to be back for a while, maybe, you know, etc. Okay? But he had a foundation. He refused her advances. But you know something? She didn't give up. She persisted. And let me tell you something, sin is persistent.
Yes, sir.
It may not get you the first time, but let me tell you something, Satan may try to come another way. So don't think because you mastered it once, it ain't coming back. All right? Sin is persistent. Potiphar's wife was persistent because it says day after day she tried to get at him. Okay? So one day, Joseph was in the house, just doing his job by himself, okay? And guess what happened? Potiphar's wife showed up, all right? And what Joseph did was, when she made that advance, he turned away and ran. But she had his cloak, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, he avoided the situation, all right? Joseph responded correctly because he made up his mind in advance, he was not going to sin against God. Joseph's mind was made up. He wasn't going to turn back. Brothers and sisters, we need to make up our minds now to follow Christ and the path that he has set before us, no matter what. You may have been walking along and all of a sudden, illness, divorce, bankruptcy, job layoff hit you along the path. But let me tell you something, stay on the path, all right? Joseph had a lot of things in his life that could have knocked him off of his path, but he persisted and he stayed on the path. All right? Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, right? You've got to stay on the path. You know, let me tell you a story about why it's important to stay on the path. So I mentioned to you that we went on vacation. We went to Zion. And while we were in Zion, we went on this thing called the Hidden Canyon Trail. Now on this trail, it was about 3 miles in, 3 miles out, okay? And you started at ground level and it advanced up to 931 feet in the air, okay? To put that in context, if this building is three stories high, it's 25 times the height of this building, All right? So the missus and I are walking up these hills. We're going like this. Then there's a switchback, and we go back this way. But the path was bright enough. So we get up and up and up, and we look down. I'm like, ooh, that's pretty high. So we're way up here at the top of the mountain. We're about 900 feet. And when you look over to your right, all you see is these tiny cars down there. All right? So we reach a point where we get to the end of the trail, and you have to turn right, and you're walking along the face of the mountain. Now, the trail was like this, and it narrowed down to like this, okay? And you're walking downhill to get to the other transition point, okay? So we're walking, and I'm thinking to myself, there is no way I'm going to walk around this corner along this path. Because you got people going this way and people coming back this way, all right, on a path that's like this. And so when we turned the corner, all I first saw was the path, the height, the path, the height. But let me tell you something, God showed up. Because on the wall, there was this chain, and it was embedded into the wall, all right? And if you grabbed the chain, it made your ability to walk down the path a lot easier. You know, I held on to the chain. And so the reason I told you that story is because along the path of life, you got to hold on to God. He's going to show up, and you got to hold on to the chain, to his unchanging hand. And he will carry you through that illness. Stay on the path. He'll bring you through that divorce. Stay on the path. He'll bring you through that bankruptcy, that heartache, that disappointment, that despair, if you just hold his hand and stay on the path. In your mind, have you made the decision? Have you made up your mind? Have you made the decision to stay on the path? The consistent study, memorization, and meditation on God's word will strengthen your walk, folks. It'll help you stay on the path. In an article I read online titled, "What is the Key to Applying the Bible to My Life?" the writer states the following. The degree to which we study, memorize, and meditate on God's word is the degree to which we understand how it applies to our lives. By understanding how the word applies, but understanding how the word applies is not enough. We must actually apply it, James 1 and 2. Application implies action, and obedient action is the final step in causing God's word to come to life in our lives. The application of Scripture enforces and further enlightens our study, and it also serves to sharpen our discernment, helping us to better distinguish between good and evil. If you want to stay on the path, study this word, meditate on this word, apply this word, amen? Because there are benefits from staying on the path, okay? In Psalms 1, turn there real quick. I'm going to highlight just three quick things that go to the person who stays on the path. Psalms 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be planted like a tree, planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he or she does shall prosper." All right? And from verses 3 and 4, you can get this. You can write this down, study it yourself. The person who stays on the path will be blessed. Why? Because he will be planted. All right? Meaning they will have a firm foundation. They will be productive because they will be fruitful, and they will be successful because they will prosper. Amen. I can't go any deeper, but I'm just telling you right now, you stay on the path that God has for you, okay? You're going to be planted because a storm's going to come. We already talked about that, but you're going to be planted because you built your house on a rock, all right? You're going to be productive, all right? You're going to be nourished up So when things happen, you're going to have a reservoir in you that will not fade away, okay? You know, Christ talked to the woman at the well. She was looking for a type of water. Christ said, I got a water that'll knock your socks off, okay? And so again, and you will prosper, and meaning you will be successful. It doesn't mean financial success, okay? But you will be successful in Christ, amen? And so again, make up your mind. All right. Our first passage established, we must build our house on a rock. Our second passage affirmed we need to stay on the path. Now it's time to visit our next passage to reveal our third powerful and practical point, which means we need to tell somebody. Turn with me, Will, to your Bibles and to John chapter 4. And we're going to be in chapter 4. For your homework, I would suggest you read the entire chapter, John 4, 1 through 42, but we're not going to do that for the essence of time. We are going to, though, heighten verse number 42, okay? I'm sorry, verse number 29. Verse number 29 is what we're going to highlight. In the fourth chapter of John, Jesus witnesses to a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Through casual conversation, Jesus was able to reveal to the woman her spiritual condition. The woman was so changed by the conversation, she immediately went into the city and shared her encounter with others. Okay? She said, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" In response to her witness, many of the Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the word which the woman had testified. He told me all that I ever did. The Life Application Bible quotes this verse by basically saying, the Samaritan woman immediately shared her experience with others. Despite her reputation, many took to her invitation and came out to meet Jesus. Perhaps there are sins in our past we are ashamed of, but Christ changes us. As people see these changes, they become curious. Use these opportunities to introduce others to Christ, okay? And so for those of you who are not familiar with this story, this is a woman who came to a well to get some water. She brought her pot, but she came at an hour that really wasn't typical to women coming. And the reason she came at this hour is because she wanted to be by herself, because people knew that this woman had a reputation, okay? This is a woman who had a bunch of husbands, and was living with someone who was not her husband, okay? And just like her, we got some things in our past that we're ashamed of, okay? But she had an encounter with Jesus. And during that encounter, Christ revealed her spiritual condition. And she said, man, I think you're a prophet, okay? And then eventually Jesus told her who he was, all right? And in that interchange, she was so changed that she wanted to go and tell other people about her encounter with Jesus. Why is it that after we do something, meet someone, or go someplace, we subsequently want to post the event on social media? In fact, some of us immediately go, they don't just wait till you get home. Some of us want to live chat or live post the event on social media. As Christians, we do have the right to post, tweet, and go online live. But why are we willing to share with the world something we did or post, a photo of someone we met, or someplace we visited, but aren't willing to tell someone about Jesus? Why is that? You know? Sometimes people want to talk about everything they did instantly, put it out there. I'm no lie, I got back, I posted photographs of our trip to Zion. You know what I mean? Because, you know, God was did a wonderful thing out there. You know what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, a lot of the things that happened on that trip are in this sermon today. Because God revealed them to me while we were there, all right? I'm walking in, I'm in this canyon, thinking about what am I going to preach when I get home, and I'm walking on a rock, and all of a sudden the Spirit said, build your house on a rock. I was like, Jesus. So I wrote it down. So we're walking in this canyon, and the canyon goes this way, it goes this way. There was one way in, there was one way out. And you know something? The Spirit said, Jerry, here's point number two. You better stay on that path. All right? And then when I got home, I was still thinking, what is the third point going to be? And I found myself on social media telling people about my story. And the Lord said, that's your third point. Tell somebody. Amen. And so again, God can use the circumstance that you're in to get the glory. All right? It's okay to tweet, to Skype, to Facebook, but use it to tell someone about Jesus. Amen? Use it to tell someone about Jesus. There's a poem by Arthur McKee, which kind of summarizes what I'm trying to tell you. It says, the gospel according to you. The gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read by more than a few. But the one that is most read and commented on is the gospel according to you. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? Do men read his truth and his love in your life? Or has yours been too full of malice and strife? Does your life speak of evil, or does it ring true? Say, what is the gospel according to you? Don't let your past prevent you from witnessing to others. Because each day, people are watching. And the Bible says that we are ambassadors, we are lights, and we need to shine in dark places. There are a lot of dark places in this world. But God has commissioned you who believe to be the light in that area. Brother Robinson is in the insurance business. We talk a lot. And I'm on the claim side, and he and Brother Kennedy are on the broker side. I've got to be a light on the claim side. They've got to be a light on the broker side. Because God has placed us, although we're in the same industry, we're in different parts, all right? But that doesn't diminish the fact that we need to let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So the decision you need to make is, are you going to tell somebody? Now, before we reach our final destination, let's just quickly recap these practical points presented in the passages before. I've told us that we need to build your house on a rock, to stay on the path, and to tell somebody. And to be honest with you, I promised you I was going to take you to a place that some of you have been to before, and some of you have not. Now, if you look at all three points, we've already passed our final destination. And our final destination point is the point of decision. This sermon is to get you to the point of decision. The first point was to build your house on a rock. You need to decide, are you going to build your house on a rock? You also need to decide, are you going to stay on the path? We've already talked about there are two paths, all right? The path of the wicked, path of the righteous. Which path? Make your decision. And then finally, are you going to make the decision today to tell somebody about what Christ is doing in your life? That's what it's about, folks. Remember, I kept telling you, there is no neutral zone. And if you haven't chosen to follow Christ, you have already made your decision. My charge is to tell you to make the decision to follow Christ. Amen? So, as I close, I just want to remind you that I told you that God is going to get the praise from this sermon. Everything he said that I've said, he gave to me, and I gave him all the praise and all the glory. And it is my prayer that our journey through these passages today have brought you to the point of decision. Don't leave here without hearing what the Lord has said to you. May God be praised. Thank you.
For the doors of the church are now open, and you've reached your destination. Now you need to make a decision. Do you want to come and meet Jesus before he comes the final time? You've heard the message today. Is there one that want to make that decision, that you've made up your mind now? You've reached this point. Is there another one that says, I've made up my mind, I've reached this point, and now I understand my destination. I want to live eternally. Is there another one? Is there another one? Make your mind up. You've reached the destination. The decision he talked about.